Okay, we're up at Tesla and Mabez, the little more than halfway down to Tanan Hassam. Just one note, today will be the last day that I'll be giving the daf until the next couple of weeks. Menachem will be taking over for the summer. I appreciate I feel it's a privilege that that I'm able to be part of such a wonderful a gathering of Torah, a virtual gathering of Torah each day. We don't even know how many of us there are, but we say in Rosh Chodesh Beshe, we're going to say tomorrow, Mishas Nisim Lavosenu, Hu Yigal Osan Bekaro, Bikapis Vizachenu, Chaverim Kol Yisrael. Really, all Jews are one big family, one big group of Chaverim, and what binds us together most is the Torah. That's why when we meet people and we connect through learning, we connect through a Dvar Torah. So I really feel a connection between everybody here and everybody out there. And no matter if it's through the shul or through YU. So Baruch Hashem, it was great and wonderful this entire year. I remember back all the way in September, we were in Masechah Shabbos. Not just Erevin, we were in Masechah Shabbos. Erevin started Friday of Shabbos Shuvah. So we were able to be in a lot of different worlds together this year. From Shabbos to Erev to Pesach to Shkolim now to Yuma. And Baruch Hashem, I hope to be back within Yuma as well. But please, Menachem will be taking over. He'll be great over the summer. And hope you enjoy. And Baruch Hashem, I will see you towards the end of August, sometime in the 20s. Okay, let us begin now. Tesvav Amabez, Tanan Hassam. Tanan Hassam says the Mishnah in Tamid. We've been speaking about Mishnahs in Tamid, so we're going to bring another stira between the Mishnah in Tamid and the Mishnah in Midos. The last two Masechtas in Seder Kachim. Tanan Hassam says the Mishnah, Amr Lahem Hamamune, the one who is appointed, who's in charge of the Karbanos every morning, the one who did the lottery to choose which Kohanim did the different parts of the Avodah. So he, after he did the lottery, says, Suva Habiyu Tzleh Milishkas Beis HaTzleim. Bring me a sheep from the room where they used to keep all the sheep. We learned earlier that there were always at least six animals that were in the room, just to be safe, to make sure if one of them gets a mum, if one of them something happens to one of them, and you need at least six there for 4 days. We spoke about this. Bikur mum is for dalad yamim. That's the makor for slichus. That's why we say slichus for at least 4 days before Rosh Hashanah. So he says, bring me the tleh from the lishkas beis hatzlaim. Asks the Gemara, v'halo lishkas hatzlaim ha'isa b'miksoa tzfonis ma'aravis. So it says, where was the lishkas hatzlaim? Think about if you have some of your Gemaras have pictures. If you don't have one, I have one here. The Lishkas HaTzlaim, you think about the top of, so this is upside down, north is this way. So there are four rooms. If you think north of the Mizbeach, near the wall, on the top of the Harabayas, there were four rooms there. Two of them, as we'll see, were in the Azara. We're in the Kodesh. Two of them were in the Chol. So the Gemara is going to talk about those four rooms that were on the top part of the Azara, above the Mizbech. We're going to talk about the other four rooms, which are in the Ezras Nashim, in a few minutes. That's the big four boxes outside by the Ezras Nashim. But now we're talking about there were four smaller offices, rooms, on top of the north of the Mizbech, north of the Ulam, towards the north side of Harabais. So it says 37 to 40 in the art scroll? 37 to 40 in the art scroll. Okay, 37 to 40. Says the Gemara. So, the Mishnah in Tamid says that the Lishkas HaTzloim, the room where they kept the sheep, was in the northwest side. I'm not sure if it's that different pictures have different sheetahs. This is the Havamina. We're going to get to what the Maskat is. But it said that the northwest side, northwest corner, was the Lishkas HaTzloim. That's not going to be what we say, Lamaskana. So, Arba Lishachas HaYisham, and there were four Lishachas, there were four offices there. Achas Lishkas HaTzloim, one of them was this office for the Lishkas HaTzloim, and the Mishnah said it was in the northwest. That's going to be the Stira, where this room was, northwest one. The Achas Lishkas HaChosamos, one of them was the Lishka where they kept the Chosamos, the seals. We discussed this in Masechah Shkalim, where when a person comes to buy flour, to buy oil for his Vesach and for his Mincha, he used to give one of the Mamunim, one of the appointees, he used to give money, he used to get a Chosam, he used to bring the Chosam to the other Mamuna and get oil and oil and flour for it. So the room where they kept those Chosamos was a second room. The Achas Lishkas Beis HaMokad, and one of them was the office, the room of the Beis HaMokad. What's the Beis HaMokad? Really, the entire area was called the Beis HaMokad. But what was the specific room of the Beis HaMokad? So Rashi explains here that the Beis HaMokad was, you see on the fifth wide line on the bottom, Lishka Ketana Shekriya Beis HaMokad, Upsucha La Beis HaMokad HaGadol. It was a little room called the Beis HaMokad, but it opened up to the Beis HaMokad HaGadol, and some say it had a fire in there, just like it had a fire in the main room. Some say it just had the wood in there to store, to use for the Beis HaMokad. Either way, it was somehow connected to the main Beis HaMokad to use to make the fire in the middle area. Why did they make the fire? Why was there a fire in there? They weren't burning any karbanas there. The karbanas were burned on the Mizbeah. Why was there a fire there? So that's a discussion here between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi here says that the fire was there because the floor got very cold. Kohanim weren't allowed to wear socks, let alone shoes, because that would have been a chatzisa between their body and the floor. There can't be any chatzisa between the Ritzpas HaAzara and the feet of the Kohanim, so it got very cold sometimes. So they had to go barefoot. So that's what they had, this fire there to warm, that warmed the entire area, and that's why, that was the purpose of this fire. Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Hanano on the top Tosfos that maybe it was different. They used it for to bring fire from. We know there's a mitzvah to bring mitzvah lahavi eshmina hezyot, even though fire came down from Shemayim. There's always a mitzvah to bring fire on the mizbeach from the hezyot. So this was the source of the fire. They didn't just light a match in the base of Mikdash. So they took fire from here and brought it to the mizbeach. So those are two ideas behind the fire in the Lishka's Beis HaMokad. And finally, the fourth one was ve'achas lishka she'osin ba'lechem aponim. The fourth room in this four cornered, this four-roomed area, was the place where they used to bake the lechem aponim. We learned in Masechta Shkalim as well, there was a special family that knew how to make the lechem aponim. So, these were the four rooms. What's important for us, though, is that the Mishnah says that the Lishkas HaTzlayim was in the northwest corner. Says the Gemara of Raminu, so that's what the Mishnah Tambit says. I'll ask you a kasha from Mishnah in Midos. There were four offices in the Beis HaMokad in this area. Like small rooms that all empty into a palace. Two of these rooms were in the Kodesh, were in the Kedushas HaAzara. Two of them were not, they were outside, they were in the Chol. And there were barriers, they were like sticks sticking up in the middle so that they knew the border between the Kodesh and the Chol. I think I have a picture of this here. Right, you see these pishpasin, they're like these like parking things that you're not allowed to park. You have these, sorry? Like poles poles here that they know bein HaKodesh u bein HaChol, because there's a certain tmeim are not allowed to go past. So in the middle area between these two rooms, they had these pishpasin, so you knew what was Kodesh and what was Chol. So you had these four rooms, two and two. Umahay Mishamshos, what were these four rooms used for? Ma'arav is Deromis. He always said Lishkas Tloy Karban, that's the Sira. Because here it says the southwest corner, southwest room, was the one that was used for the keep the animals in. So that's already the Sira. Deromis Mizrachis, he Lishkas Ayosub Alechem Apanim. Southeast was the one used for the Lechem Apanim, that's fine. Mizrachis Tzfonis, this is another Sira, which the Gemara does not ask. Interestingly, the Gemara is not bothered by the fact that there's a different purpose between the only seer the Gemara is going to deal with is the position of the Lishkas HaTzvoim. But there are, Tosas on the top here points out that there are other seers, but the Gemara is only interested in talking about the placement. Because you can have a room that's used for different purposes. That's what Tosas says, you can answer the seera. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah, the northeast room, Ba Gonzu Beis Chashmunai Avnei Mizbeach, Sheshiktsum Malchei Ovdei Kochavim. The stones that were desecrated by the non-Jewish kings in the Beis HaMikdash, and they took them off the Mizbeach, they threw him into this room. That was one of the rooms. That's not in the first list. So Tosfos says one of the rooms could have been used for two different purposes. So that doesn't bother me so much. But the situation, the position of Lishkas HaTzlayim, that's the Stira, which we'll get to in a second. Let's finish. Svonis Ma'aravis by Yardin LeBeis HaTfila. The northwest room had a stairway going down to the Beis HaTfila, where if a Kohen became tummy and has to go out to use the mikvah, and he's allowed to walk on the above ground, because that's Kadosh, he's allowed to walk underneath, as we've mentioned, Mechilos Lo Niskachu. The tunnels underneath the base of the other Harabayis do not have the same Kedusha as Harabayis. Maybe that's why, I don't know if the tunnels by the Kotel, if above, if there's any, I think it stays on the outside. all the tunnels. So it tells you where you can look to the right, and this is where the Kodesh Kodashim is, looking to the right. But all those tunnels, we don't go underneath the Har Habayis. We stay outside as well. But theoretically, here you Yibane Beis Hamikdash, the tunnels that we're going to get to are not going to have the Kedusha either. Mechilas Lo Niskachu. Question mark. So there's a stira between the Mishnah in Tamid and the Mishnah in Midos. Where was the Lishkas HaTzvoim? Was it in the northwest corner? Was it in the southwest corner? That's the question. Let's talk a little bit for a minute, though, about this line, the room that the Mishnah says, that is where they used to throw the stones, the Avnei Mizbeach that were desecrated by the Ovdei Kochavim, they threw the stones. 2 points. Number one is, why didn't they bury them? Why didn't they bury these stones? Isn't it like Sheamus? Pieces of the Mizbeach, and it's Kedushas HaGuf. So why wasn't it buried? So, first is the Tshuva of Rav Moshe. In Dalal Amaches, Rav Moshe has a tshuva, say for Torah Shebala, in Mutul Hachziko B'makom Mechupa B'beis HaKnesses. So after I saw this tshuva, somebody mentioned that it was a tshuva about putting it in a museum, putting a Sefer Torah that was worn out in a museum, or putting, from the tshuva, he doesn't mention a museum. He just mentions Makom Mechupa B'beis HaKnesses. Meaning, let's say sometimes you have a place, like behind glass, behind plastic, for people to see it. Not in the Aron, doesn't Dafka say in the Aron, but a place where people could see a worn-out Sefer Torah. See a beautiful Sefer Torah, but it's worn out as possible. Is that Kavadik? Or do you have to bury it? You have to bury the Torah. You know, it's Sheamus. In the Chashemus Gadol Mizu. Says Moshe discusses this, and then he quotes our Gemara. He says, why didn't they bury the stones? Why didn't they bury the stones of the Mizbeach? So says Moshe, this Torah that was worn out, it was put into the ground to hide from the Nazis, and it was taken out after World War II, and it was worn out. It was possible, so are you allowed to keep it in a Makom Mechubad? So just interestingly, last week I went, my fourth grade son had a trip to Kennedy Airport. He had a trip, so it was in June, so yeshiva was finished, so I went with them. So they have a shul in Kennedy Airport, and the rabbi was there, and he was very proud, saying that he was the only shul in North America in an airport. He was giving us a whole speech. He said there were four or five in the world. And then he says, you want to see the Torahs? He tells the kids. So he opens up the Arad, and he takes out this Torah that was from World War II, and it was buried. It was possible they keep it there with the kosher Sefer Torahs, and it was buried in the ground during World War II, and they keep it there, and he says he's able to connect to a lot of people that way, but it's a similar case. There you keep it in the Aron, but it's the same issue. You have a Torah that was buried, maybe many Torahs were buried, many we might not have found, but they were buried, they didn't know what was going to happen to them. So the question of Moshe was, you have to bury them, you can keep it in a Makom Mechubad. So says Moshe, Ba'ofan sheyiru osal lezichron rishos hanatzis hu eza bizayon. If it's just going to keep it in a place where it's not going to do any good, then that's no good. But if you're going to put it in a place where people are going to remember the rishos of the enemy and the chasdei Hashem, that's fine. Avol mistaver she'ena bizayon ve'ein lanu levados mi libein lomar shudaver bizayon. Just because we think, oh, maybe it's bizyonos. We can't make up new rules. V'ksas mashma v'gemara yuma reish daf tezayin shalachara havila lemeimar lignos b'karko havanim. Why do they keep him up there? Why? V'rak mishum kiven d'shtamish v'lugavah alav arachal l'shamish v'behetiyota. Where's the line? She'yizachru rishas hayavanim u'lahodos l'shem yizbarach al shehetzilana mehem. Right, so you keep it up there, so to show people. So says Rav Moshe, that's what you learn from this Gemara. That the Shiksa, they didn't bury the stones, so too, we, if like in certain museums, you have these old Sifrei Torah, it could inspire people, people could see what the Ksav was like in the olden times, people could say, wow, Jewish history continues, Baruch Hashem, so if that's the purpose, and it's going to inspire people, so then it's fine. It's still serving a purpose. So if they have a Sefer Torah made, Rachman al-Islam, made into a lampshade or something like that, again, that hurts more. It hurts more, but again, according to Rav Moshe, it would be the same purpose. Maybe even more so. The focus is on the rishus, the enemy. But it doesn't focus on the hatzala. One line, yeah. Right. Tashmisha Kedusha, Sefer Stam, yeah. The Mizbeach Lachore is Kedusha Saguf. Right, it doesn't have Tashmisha Kedusha, you're saying, because it's not technically the Ksav of Torah. But at least Klishares can't use it for any other Hedyot purpose. That's one issue. Second point brought up here by the Gemara. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah asked the Kasha, how was it? So it sounds like they, like Yisrael's question, they weren't allowed to use it anymore. They couldn't put it back in the Mizbeach. It was already Nifgam. Why did the Ovdei Kochavim have any power, the Yavanim, which the context of the Gemara was, how do they have the power to aser these stones? The rule is, Ein Adam Oser Davar Sheino Shelo. If I go over to your backyard and I bow down to your lawn chair, you know, and I consider it an Avodah Zarah, so it's still your, it's not an Avodah Zarah, I can't aser your chair. Ein Adam Oser Davar Sheino Shelo. I can't take your wine and pour it as Yai Nesach, and, you know, it's aser. If I do something, I create a mitzius, I take your meat and milk and cook it together, that's basa b'chala. That's not, that's a mitzius. But I can't, the rule is, in other most of it, so how is it that they had the power to aser these stones? Says the Gemara, gzeres akasiv uba'u b'prisim b'chilaluha. Pasuk from Navi. What does that mean? That's a major machlokas. We discussed this a couple years ago on a Hanukkah. Major machlokas between the Balamor and the Ramban on that Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Nun Gimel. Says the Balamor, you know what really happened here? You're right. The rule is Ein Adam Oser Davar Sheino Shelo. But you know who desecrated the Beis HaMikdash? The Misyavnim. They were the ones that caused the zilzal. Says the Balamor, the Vedarshu Denafkalu Lechulin Al Yidei Yisrael. That's the Balamar. There's no chiddush here. It was the Misyavnim. So there's no Xeris Akasa, something new was happening here that didn't happen the rest of history. That's the Shita of the Balamar, how it happened. Interestingly, the Rambam does not quote this pasuk. Doesn't quote this halacha. Rav Sternbach assumes it's because he always liked the Balamar. Because according to the Balamar, it's not a chiddush, it's a regular din of Me'ilah. Regular din of a Jew violating Me'ilah. The Ramban there has some six or seven questions on the Balamar. He says it can't be. It must be Xeris Akasiv that this time that it was the non-Jews, even though usually they can't do it. But here, Vadai Adeh Ovdei Kochavim Yatsal L'chulin Dekrab Ovdei Kochavim Ksiv Shari Navi Misnaba Al HaMikta Sheyecharev V'Omar Sheyetzal L'chulin V'Xeris Akasiv Hayakol There are many, many rules. It's a rule breaker in many ways. Says the Ramban, this was the time in history. It is a rule breaker. That's the Balamar and Ramban in Avodah Zarah Daf Nun Gimel. Okay, so that's two points having to do with these stones that were Meshukats in the time of the Mikdash. So back to the Stira. We have a Stira between the Mishnah and Tamid and the Mishnah and Midas. The Mishnah and Tamid says that the room where the Lishkas Beis HaTzloim was the northwest room. The Mishnah in Midos says it was the southwest room. What's the answer? Amar Afhuna, Matana, Midos, or Bozeman Yaakovi. No stira, because the author of the Mishnayos and Midos is a specific Tana. It's Bozeman Yaakov, and therefore you can't ask the stira between the Mishnayos. How do we know it's Bozeman Yaakov? Titzan, as the Mishnah elsewhere in Midos says. Ezra's Nashim, Haisa Orech, Mea Ushloshim Bechamish. Arocha Mea Ushloshim Bechamish. The Ezra's Nashim. Now we're outside the Azara. The Azara that has the Mizbeach Achitzon and the Kiyar. Go to the east of that and you find a big area with four rooms. Right? The four rooms in the Ezra's Nashim. The four rooms. To the west of that is the Shara Niknar going in, and you have those other four rooms we were just talking about. But to the right side, to the east side of Har HaBayis, you have four big rooms by the Ezra Snashim. So what were in those four big rooms this Mishnah is talking about? The first Mishnah says it was 135 amos by 135 amos. It was a big square. Four rooms in its corners. Shows what were they used for? The southeast corner was the one used by the Nazirim. Shesham Nazirim Mevashlim Eshal Mehem. We know that the Nazir has to bring a special karbanos after he finishes his Naziris. One of them is a Shlamim, and he has to cook the carbon Shlamim. Learned a lot of halachas of Yaradeya from that halacha, cooking the Zroa B'Shela. One of the bones of this carbon Shlamim of a Nazir. So he used to cook the Shlamim there. Umigalchin Sairon, he used to cut his hair there. One of the three halachas that a Nazir don't let cut his hair until he finishes his Naziris. He cuts his hair. Umishalchin Tachas Hadud, and he throws his hair underneath the pot where his Shlamim is burning. Talk about that in a second. But that's all the southeast corner. Mizrachis Svonis, the northeast corner. He also Lishkas Dir HaEitzim. That's where the firewood storage was. Shasham Kohanim Bali Mumin Omdin. That's where the Kohanim, who were Bali Mumin, who couldn't do the Avoda, so they had to do something. So what did they do? They used to go, Umasliim Be'etzim, they used to check for worms in all the wood. Why? I should call Eishishbo Talas Pasalagam Mizbeach. Because any wormy wood cannot be used on the Mizbeach. We'll get back to that also in a second. consider the rooms first. Svonis ma'aravis, hi isa lishkas hamitzora'in. The northwest corner was the lishkas hamitzora'in. It was where the mitzoras were. Rashi explains, that's where they went to the mikvah on the eighth day of their tahara process. Even though they went to the mikvah the day before, they had to go again right before they stuck their bahonos. They had to stick their thumbs into the Shara Niknar, and they got sprinkled over there by the Kohen to become tar. So right before they did that, they also went into the mikvah again. So that was in the north west corner. And finally, Maravis Dromis, what about the southwest corner? I forgot what it was used for. But you see that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is the one talking here in the Mishnah. I forgot, it must be that he said the first three also. So that's why the Gemara assumed that he is the author of these Mishnayos in Midos, and that's why don't ask the seer between Midos and Tamid. The Gemara finishes off though. Abishol Omer, Ba Hayinosin Yain B'Shem, and that's why they used to keep oil and wine. Fiasanik Reis Lishkas Be'Shmanya. It was called the office of the oil. Okay, period. That's the raya that the Mishnah is like Elazar ben Yaakov. Two discussions here. First, let's talk about the Nazir. So the Nazir had to cut his hair, under the carbon, under the shlamin that was burning. Rav Sternbach, in his Sefer Al HaTorah and Tam Badas, quotes a nice idea related to this. He said, "What is it? Throwing the hair under the pot and the what's the symbolism?" So he quotes, "Ki a nazir bechefzol is kadosh b'avodas Hashem yisbarach. A nazir in his desire to get close to Hashem, bachar lechos b'derech haprishus mikol chayi ha'olam hazeh. A nazir has chosen to leave this worldly pleasures, wine and cutting hair." And some Rishonim say wine is just an example. He's poreish from other aspects of Olam Hazeh as well. Uvita Nugosav, ki az yakal of this kariv, el konu lidavikbo. He thinks he's going to get closer to Hashem by being poreish, by just not being involved in the world, in wine. That's what the symbol of wine. Ube'emes, Shezer Sternbach, echoing the shita of the Rambam, she'en kein darka shel Torah. Right, this is not the ultimate. This is not the ideal. What's the ultimate purpose of Olam Hazeh? To be mekadesh the world, to drink wine and use it for a mitzvah, to be involved in the world and use it for mitzvahs. That's the ultimate. So if you're osek in gashmius l'shem shemayim, that elevates everything that we're supposed to be involved in. That's a carbon shlamim. A shlamim, more than any other carbon, is the symbol of being mekadesh the gashmius. Why? Because the shlamim, some of it goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the chalavim, but then there's some eaten by the Kohen, there's some eaten by the Bailim. That's shalom. It brings shalom between the Kohen and the Bailim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So a shlamim symbolizes being mekadesh gashmius. That's what we mentioned from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and others, that a non-Jew who brings a carpet, he only can bring an ola. He can't bring a shlamim. Why? Because the attitude of many other religions is that, no, you got to be a nun, you got to be a monk, you got to be somebody who's celibate, who separates. We don't believe in that. We believe to be mekadesh, to be involved in the world. We bring carbon shlamims. So that's a symbol of a carbon shlamim. So it says of Sternbach, after the Nazirus, the Nazir has to bring a carbon shlamim to make sure that he knows himself that what I've been doing the past 30 days is not the ideal, like the Shita of the Rambam. So I had to do it maybe to get balanced, because I needed it. I was going overboard one direction, so I had to go to the other direction. But a shlamim is the ikar. That's why I have to bring a carbon shlamim. And then he takes his hair. Hair symbolizes something extra from the guf. Symbolizes mosaros. Symbolizes, you know, not necessities, not what I need. Says the Nazir, he takes that and says, okay, this I'm going to throw in the fire. This is what I'm going to be poreish from. I'm going to be poreish from hair, which symbolizes extra stuff, extra tanugim. But the ikar stuff, the ikar gashmis that I'm supposed to be involved in, that's the shlamim, that's on top. That's what's burning on top. Underneath, I'll throw in the fire, I'll throw in the hair. But that's what symbolizes is extras. That's a Dvar Machshava on the issue of Naziris. That's one point. Another interesting point quoted by about Shimshon. Now, Shimshon was a unique Nazir, or the only Nazir Mibeten. Different halachas, the Gemara Nazir talks about between Nazir Shimshon and other types of Naziris. There's a sefer I have at home called Mishpitzo Zahav. Beautiful sefer. It's on many of the Nevi'im Rishonim. Matalamdis, Machshava. So he quotes a Kabbalistic idea why Shimshon's koach was in his hair. We know Naziris always goes by the hair. So why was Shimshon's koach? And that's why Delilah finally got out of him. It's if you cut my hair, not if you tie me, if you cut. Why dafkin in the hair? Why was that the part of the guf that symbolized his hair? So he quotes an idea from Moshe David Vali, that Kadakia Tamhu, Lefisha Ruach HaKodesh, Tamit Shora al Rosho Shel Adam. Ruach HaKodesh is shorah on the head of a person. Somebody gets a vision, so that's what the seichel is, it rests on the head of a person. Gizeh HaMakom HaNichbad V'HaGavoa. That is what makes a human being unique, that's the most makom HaNichbad in the person. Mishkan HaNeshama SheYichelek Elokam Imal. So Ruach HaKodesh of a person is shorah on the head of a person. But let's say a person doesn't have Ruach HaKodesh where somebody speaks to them, but it's Ruach HaKodesh of Gvura, Ruach HaKodesh of Hod, Kemoshehu El HaGiborim Ve'El HaMalachim. Where does that Ruach HaKodesh show at? So that doesn't go all the way into the head, because you don't need to. It just rests on the outside of the head. It rests on the hair. That's why the crown of a melech goes on the goes there. Because that's where the Ruach HaKodesh, the special koach that HaKodesh Baruch Hu gives, rests on the hair. It doesn't have to go in. He says, "Ki amin azesha ruach hakodesh ain't sorach sheikanis bepnimiyas haneshama eladai sheyamon mibachutz lahafzik ezivari agufim mushal gvura." So that's why dafke was in the hair, because it was shorah on the head, but the hair is what's outside the head, and that's all the ruach hakodesh of gvura has to go has to get to. It doesn't have to go in. So that's why he explains why Shimshon's koach was in his hair. That's why he lost it when his hair was cut off. Also connected to this issue of the hair of a nazir. The Gemara continued and said one of the other rooms was a place where they used to check the wood for worms. Why did they have to check for worms? Why couldn't you use wormy wood? Wormy wood? Right, you would say, okay, it wasn't nice. But is there a halachic reason? So you look in the Rambam. The Rambam seems to say one reason. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Isurei Mizbeach Perek Vav. In Halacha Aleph, the Rambam says, Kishem shemitzvah lios kol karban tamim v'nivchar kach nesachim yutamim v'nivcharim. Just like a carbon can't be a balmum, have a blemish, so too the nesachim, the wine and the flour, can have to be perfect and chosen. Very next halacha, v'chein. V'chein always means, there's always a connection here, v'chein atzei hama'aracha lo yiyu ela nivcharim v'lo yiyu behem tolas. Can't have worms. Sounds like from the Rambam, based on context, the reason wood can't have worms is because wood, you can't bring a balmum. A wood with worm will be a balmum on the Mizbeach. That seems to be the shita of the Rambam. The Meiri here quotes a different shita. The Meiri here says that no, is that a worm is a davar tame. You can't burn wood, a worm on the Mizbeach. It's a non-kosher animal. So if even though you're not bringing it as a carbon, but if it's in the wood, it's going to burn. So therefore, the second reason why you're not allowed to bring wormy wood on the Mizbeach. Yeah. Ein anias b'makom hashiris, meaning what? No, I'm saying meaning. So the, I mean, all even good wood might be wormy. So you're right, ein anias b'makom hashiris. You don't skimp when it comes to the Beis Hamikdash. But you're just checking, just in case. Checking just in case. Remember, we had the Gemara in Baba Vasra mentions, and it's also in the end of Tainus, that on Tu B'Av is a very happy day. Not a very happy day in the middle of the summer. Why is it so happy? So the Gemara lists six things that happen on Tu B'Av. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, there weren't such happy days in Klal Yisrael like Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av. Right, that's the pair. Why is Tu B'Av so happy? So there are a number of answers given in the Gemara. That was the day that the Meisei Beitar were Nitnu L'Kvura. That was the day that the Shevet Binyamin was allowed to marry back in after the tragic story at the end of Sefer Shoftim, where Klal Yisrael says nobody's allowed to marry Shevet Binyamin because of the whole story of Pilagish Begiva, so that they were allowed to marry in. Other answers given, that was the day that they removed the Avodah Zarah from the Beis HaMikdash, that Hoshea ben Ela, that Yerovah ben Nevat had put there. And the last one mentioned is, that was the day that they stopped cutting wood for the Ma'aracha. Why did they stop cutting wood for the Ma'aracha? Why they stop cutting wood for the Beis HaMikdash? So the Rashbam there explained about Baba Basra that when is Tu B'Av? It's the middle of the summer. It was very hot. From after Tu B'Av, it's not as hot anymore. It's already getting a little cooler. So the wood was much more wormy. After this, they stopped collecting wood. They didn't take any more wood from after this time, so they stopped. That was one of the makoros for making a siyum, because they said they made a big party on Tu B'Av because they finished this great mitzvah. That's what they make in a we're gonna have a shir on a job in the middle of the summer on in Yom HaSiyum, because the siyum in the 9 days is a big issue. That's what the shir is gonna be on Shabbos Chazon. So that relates to this. That's what they used to check the wood. But once it got too much by Tu B'Av, so then they stopped checking the wood. But that was Machlokas Rambam Meiri what the reason is to check the wood. Okay, back to the Gemara. Second to last skinny line. So the Gemara just answered the Sirim Tutabin of Midos by proving, don't ask me for Bakasha for the Mishnah Midos, because the Mishnah Midos is Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. So Achanami Mistavra, we have another Raya that the Mishnayis and Midos is Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, he did not. Here we go. You have to need the if you have a picture there, I have pictures here. We're going to bring a raya. I'm just going to give a hakdama information, and then we're going to read it. Another raya that it has to be Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, Mishnayos and Midos. Why? Because the Mishnah says Ditznan Kol Aksalim Shahayu Sham Hayu Gvoin Chutz Mikosal Mizrachi Shahakoyin Asori V'Sapara Omid Bahara Mishcha Umachavin Varoa Kineged Pischol Shel Heichal B'Shas Hazaz Hadam. The Mishnah says in Midos that the Kohen who was involved in burning the Para Aduma, standing on Har HaZeisim, which is east of Har HaBayis, when he burns the Para Aduma, he has to look west and look towards the Kodesh Kadashim, and he is able to see all the way inside into the Heichal. That's the halacha. He has to be there and be able to see exactly through. So the kasha is, if you have high walls on the east side of the Har HaBayis, you're not going to be able to see in. So it says the Mishnah, the east wall of Har HaBayis was short for that reason. So he was able to see straight in. That's why it was short, because he had to see above the wall. So what the Gemara is about to do now is to prove from measurements of the mount, the Har HaBayis is a mount, and it goes up. So we're going to show where the stairs are, and how deep each stair is, and how the math is going to work out. And we're going to prove that according to other Shitos, other than Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, the wall on the east side would not have to be short. Why? Because there was going to be a little space underneath. The wall is going to be 20 amos high, and we're going to show that if the Kohen stands on Har HaMishcha, Har HaZeisim, he could look straight through underneath the top of the wall. Because it's going to end up being 19 and a half amos high, and the wall is 20 amos high. So there's a little half an amma that's going to be left underneath the wall, according to everybody else. So according to everybody else, you don't have to make this eastern wall shorter, because you could just see underneath the top of the wall. Only according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, he's going to have a higher, for some reason, we're going to see the floor of the Heichal is going to be higher, so according to him, he's not going to be able to see through, and that's why they had to make that wall shorter, to see over it, and that's going to be another proof that the Mishnah in Midos is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So that's what we're about to do right now. That's not the wall we have now. No, we have it first on the other side. We have it on the Kosel Ma'aravi. We have it on the western side, all the way the outside wall of Har HaBayis. Says the good, so now let's prove everything that we just said. So says the Gemara, Vitznan, the end of the second wide line. Kol Psachim Shahayushem Gvol Govhan Estrim Amma Barachman Esr Amos. All the walls were 20 amos high and 10 amos wide. Vitznan, all the Psachim, sorry, all the openings were 20 by 10. Vitznan, Lifnimi Menu Soreg. So now we're going in from the outside Har HaBayis. We're going towards the middle, towards the center. First comes a Soreg, which is a little fence around the Azara. So you see this little fence around here. That really doesn't have anything to do with us, but it's just saying the structure. The little fence that goes around. We're going to go through all the dimensions. So, continuing. Vitzan Lefnimi Menu, going inside the Soreg, Hachel Eser Amos. You have the area called the Chel, which was 10 Amos wide, up until you get to the actual wall of the Azara. V'shtem Eser Milos HaYushan. There were 12 steps going from the Chel to the Azara. Rum Mala Chatzi Amma V'shilcha Chatzi Amma. Each step was half amma tall, half amma deep. So far, what do we have? So we have half amma tall, 12 steps. That's 6 ammas. So far, that's 6 ammas. Then, tesvav malas olos mitocha hayodat ve'ezrol ezros nashim. Then, continuing going further in, after you go west from the ezros nashim towards the ezros Yisrael, you had 15 steps. Rum mala chatzi amma v'shilcha chatzi amma. Again, the height of each one was a half an amma, so a half amma each one, 15 steps, 7.5. So now we're up to 13.5. We have 6 ammas and then another 7.5, so 13.5 ammos so far, going from the east side of the Har HaBayis, going in. Vitznan, continuing, Mein Ha'ulam V'Alam Mezbeach Chaf Beis Amma. There were 22 ammos between the Ulam, and the Ulam was the Heichal, and the Mizbeach, Mizbeach HaChitzon, 22 ammos. V'shtem Esri Milos HaYushab, and there were another 12 steps there. Rum Maila Chatzi Amma V'shilcha Chatzi Amma. Again, a half an amma tall of 12 steps. That's another 6 ammos. 12 stacks, half an amma tall, 6. So add it up. 6 going height-wise of all the stairs. 6, 6, and 7.5. All together, that's 19.5 ammos. That's where it ends. So according to the Rabbanan, according to the Shita, from where you started on the east side of Har HaBayis, the mountain, it's a Har HaBayis, it goes up, looking in, if somebody would be across on the next mountain, looking straight in, the incline is 19.5 amos. So if the Pesach is 20 amos high, so you can still see straight through. There's a half a amma height that you can see in underneath the height of the door on the east side. So that is why, according to other shitos, not Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, you don't have to have the east wall any shorter than the others. Just keep it 20 ammas, and there's a half an amma to see in between. So now, though, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, though, has a little added height. But it's not Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, Omer, Milo Haisasham. No, there was another added platform at the ends. The Gavoa Amma, and it was another Amma high. The Docha Nasan Allah, there was a platform on it. Ubo, Sholos, Milos, Shal, Chatzi Amma. And there were three steps on it, each a half an Amma. So according to the Muslim and Yaakov, the height was above 20 Amos. So it's above 20 Amos, so you're not going to be able to see underneath. So that is why you had to have a shorter wall. And that's the proof that the Mishnah in Midos is also the Shita of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, because it's the Mishnah that says that the east wall has to be shorter. So, if you assume the Mishnah is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, so you know that the Pesach covers, and therefore that's why you have to have a shorter wall. But according to the Rabbanan, you still have that half an amma that is in between. So, so it must be that it's like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Fine. Next, Rav Elazar Barava. Rav Elazar Barava says, maybe not. I have another explanation why the wall had to be shorter. Not only according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Maybe there's no proof that it's like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Why? Because Rav Elazar Barava says, Hamani Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe it's the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who says, Titzani Rabbi Yehuda Omer, HaMizbeach Mamutzav Omer Be'emsa Azara. The Mizbeach was smack in the middle of the Azara, going north-south. So says Rav Elazar Barava, maybe the reason they had to have a shorter wall is because the Mizbeach was smack in the middle, blocking the vision. And if it was back in the visions, that's why you had a shorter wall to be able to stand up and see above it. So maybe that's the reason that the vision was blocked. Ushloshim shtayim amos hayulo. It was the Mizbeach was 32 amos wide. Eser amos kegel pisco shel heichal. The middle part of the Mizbeach was 10 amos going north south. Yudalav amos l'sapim yudalav amos hadarum, and 11 going into the north and south side of the azara. Nimsa Mizbeach b'chuba kegel heichal v'koslav. So the Mizbeach blocked. So maybe that's maybe there's no riot that the Mishnah Midos is Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Maybe it's like Rabbi Yehuda. So Gemara says no, it's not. It can't be Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because these are Gadach Midos Rabbi Yehuda. He Mizbeach Be'em Sazar Mi Mishkachas Lei. No, because we have another Mishnah in Midos which said that the Mizbeach was not in the middle. So that's why it can't be the Mishnah according to Rabbi Yehuda. Vatan the Mishnah says the Midos, and this takes us the rest of the Yomim. Kol Ha'azara Ha'isa Orech Mea V'Shmona V'Sheva Arocha Mea V'Shlosha V'Chamish. So we're just going to do the dimensions of the Azara. The entire Azara is 187 by 135. That's going all the way from the east of the Ezras Nashim all the way till the behind the Kodesh Kadashim. We're going to go through the math now. Min Mizrach Lamayar of Meir B'Shvana V'Shava, 187 Amos east-west. Makan Rises Ragli Yisrael. I'm sorry, going from the, not the Ezras Nashim, going from the Shar HaNiknar area. So Makam Dishas Ragli Yisrael Yudalaf Amma. The place where the Yisraelim could walk, that's just when you come into the Azara on the east side, that's 11 Amas. Makam Dishas Ragli Kohanim, the next 11 Amos, Yudalaf Amma, that's where the Kohanim could walk. That's before the Mizbeach, that's 22. Mizbeach, Shloshim Mishtayim. The Mizbeach was another 32. Bein Ha'ulam Ala Mizbeach, Esrim Mishtayim. So what do we have so far? If you do the math at the end, you'll see it's going to add up. Kuf Amma, the Heichal itself was 100 Amos east-west. V'yudav Amma Achori Beis HaKaporez. There were 11 Amos behind the Kodesh Kadashim, between that and the wall of the Harabais. So if you add all that up, that will equal 187 Amos going east-west in the Azara. So now north-south dimensions. Min Adorim L'Safon, Me'u Shlosh V'Chamish. There was 135. HaKevesh V'HaMizbeach, Shishim V'Shtayim. There was the kevesh, the ramp, and the mizbeach were 62 of the north-south amos. Min the mizbeach will tabos ches amos. Then going north of the mizbeach, from the mizbeach to where the rings were set up to put the animals in when they shechted them, that was another 8 amos. Malkam atabos esrim ba'arba. The place where the rings were 24 amos. But atabos l'shulchanos arba. From the rings to where the tables were, where they used to cut up the animals, was another 4. Min ha'shulchanos l'nanasin arba. From the tables to the nanasin, these little, nanas is a midget. Nanasin, these little short stools, another 4. Min ha'nasin l'kosal azara ches amos, another 8. V'hamosir, and the leftovers, which we didn't count yet, that's in the south. Min ha'kevesh l'kosal, from the ramp on the south side to the wall, umakom hananasin. So that's the difference that you don't have yet is on the south side. Says that's the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, "Bisak aladach midos Rabbi Yehuda." He, if midos Mishnah is midos is Rabbi Yehuda, so then mizbeach by emsazar mi mishkachas lei haruba de mizbeach b'darim koi. According to this Mishnah, most of the mizbeach is in the south. There's only a little bit of area south of the ramp. So elalav shma minah bozem ben Yaakov shma minah. So it must be, go back to the original answer, that the Mishnah is in midos is Rabbi Zeb ben Yaakov, and we had two proofs to that on Tezayin Amid Alf. So the just one other thought before we finish. That is the so the Gemara here says that according to Behuda, the Mizbeach is in the middle of the Azara. So we mentioned a couple weeks ago this tshuva, but I'll mention it again. A tshuva of the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer was asked, can you put the bima towards the front of the shul and not in the middle of the shul? So says the Chassam Sofer in Simen Chavches in Arachayim, he's against it. He says the mizbeach is like the bima is like a mizbeach. Umisvara Omer kivan shanu machzikim habima shebakor and parches karbanos kamo mizbeach shemepdekim b'savim mebim b'chagasukas. That's why we go around the bima with hoshanas, like they used to go around the mizbeach in the Beis Hamikdash, and it's in the middle. So it says that's why we should leave it in the middle. Roy lahamido beemsa Beis Haknesses l'damosa l'Beis Hamikdash b'cholha efshari ve'ein l'shanas b'mikdash ba'at shalanu. He doesn't mention it here, Beferish, but at the end he has an allusion where he says the Haklal, famous line of the Chazam Sofer, Hachadash Aser Min HaTorah B'chol Makom. Chadash Aser Min HaTorah. Many of the tshuvas at this time, there's an undercurrent of the Reform movement or others that were trying to change little things in halacha, and it wasn't even halacha; it was minhag. And the poskim were vociferously against it because they didn't want to even give a little. Because once you give a little, so then that is something that. It's opening a Pandora's box, and it will lead to other things. That's a tshuva of the Chassam Sofer that we mentioned before, and that's what he gets from our Gemara, but the Mizbeach being in the middle. There was another tshuva that I came across this year, I just thought I would mention, in the same type of genre of tshuva, where it's not about this issue, but the Avnei Nezer in Choshen Mishpat, Simen Kuf Gimel. He was asked that there were some places that they wanted to stop calling people up for Aliyos with their name and their father's name. You know, where does it say that? I mean, okay, it's Shulchan Aruch, but where did it? But where did Mitzvah Hashem Chadash Mikara Bo V'Chafatzim L'Shanos Minag Avoseinu L'Hafer Chok Milikro B'Shem La'Oli Torah Rak Yamod Kohen Ramod Levi Yamos. He says that was the what's so bad to call somebody Yamod Levi Yamod Kohen? What's so bad about that? Says the Avnei Nezer, and this is a historical, very important tshuva. Ki chalila v'chalila l'hafer haminak b'kriya l'sefer Torah b'shemos asher enhigu v'gavlu rishonim. He says, of course, Rashi about the Arak de Besana Yehari Val Yavar. If it's something with bad ulterior motives, you can't change even how you tie your shoelace. Right, the Gemara says. V'zeh barer shachafatim l'shanos es minag akriya lo b'meridu b'mal chalila yasuzos. There are many that are asking, not because that they want to be against. Ki amava masaba minag azeh. They just want to, nobody calls them by this name anymore. What do you need the father's name? They might even be L'Shem Shemayim. Save some time in shul. I have to go and search what his name is. I'll stand here. You know, come on. You don't have to go. It makes the life of a gabbai much easier. You know, you just say, Cohen, you, come. So says the Avnei Nezer, the Zosia too, he says, even though they're not doing anything wrong, but you know what? It was the early generations, right? This shuvah was written in 1883. So he says it was their grandparents that were the problem. The original ones who started changing minhagim, right? They left out Yukum Perkon. That was one of the earlier ones. Look what's happened to them. Look at the kids of these mishanim. Even though now they're not doing it, but still, to change this minhag, that every minhag Yisrael, lo al tohu b'nis yastu, ubekulam yishbem sodos amukim unechochim lemevin, v'gam haminhag hazeh l'kor b'shemos lalos l'torah, as he sodos b'harei kodesh. So this is something that the Avnei Nezer says. Then he adds, v'yata emru l'achichem, go out, be quite nice to them, be makarev them, don't scream at them. He says at the end, he says, Hishama lachem l'dabar mechichem v'lashon racha, afilo hani tzlas mili d'zorach lomer b'erev Shabbos, you have to say nicely, v'im kotachzu betach yishmu lahem, and you have to be very careful. But again, this is a similar type of shuvah. This is beferish. Sam Sofer was really implicit. Again, this is a shuvah about calling up by a father's name, but it's something that similar to Abnezer, the Chassam Sofer, Rav Shamshon Farl Hirsch, all the Gdolim that lived in the 1800s, they were fighting not just halacha, but they were fighting minhag. And again, everything much that we have to be thankful for, Bizman Hazeh, is thanking the Gdolim of the previous generation to be mechazek ma'amad in terms of keeping strong our minhagim and our halachas. Okay, we'll stop here. And again, as I said at the beginning of this year, it's been a wonderful and we'll hope to continue in a couple of weeks. And Torah keeps us together. And even though I won't be giving the daf, Menachem will be giving it over the next couple of weeks. I feel privileged to be connected to everybody through the Divrei Torah, through Shabbos, Erev Pesachim, Shkolim, and Yuma. And Hashem will pick up still in the Seches Yuma. I go in Shabbos.